And we're pleased to be joined by State Senator Tony Huang, Republican from Fairfield. Senator, good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning to both of you, and a happy and healthy New Year's to you.
Well, here we go again. What about electricity? And then what about our other friends? They're going to be working on something at Eversource. What is the true dope on this?
Well, Brad and Dan, here's the problem: is with the weather so dangerously low, weather temperatures, and exacerbating the real need for energy, for real warmth and safety of our consumers. This is another example of the game being rigged against consumers, that you don't have any alternatives, and that these utility costs keep on going up without any accountability, without any predictability, and without any real rationale for these kind of cost increases. So Eversource is asking for an average of 6.79 more increases in electricity rates, and this would be a three-year rate increase of multiple million dollars. And the problem is, as you had put on your show last week, is the fact that we have the highest energy affordability gap in the country.
That's right.
And this exasperates it, and the rationale is unacceptable. They're saying weather patterns and the weather storm. You were paid to account for those and deliver services. You have to create greater efficiencies, and not like what we do in state government, which I frown upon as well, raising taxes on payers and taxpayers. You're raising rates on consumers for your potential inefficiency. That's what the real frustration is. We don't think they're doing a great job and continually placing their inefficiencies on the back of consumers. And they're not just simply people's ability to pay and they're reluctant. We're talking about our seniors. We're talking about our working families. We're talking about vulnerable residents that are living paycheck to paycheck. And even our millennials. The fact is, when we have job data numbers of declining jobs and declining businesses, high energy cost is one of the biggest factors that's being cited. And our problem is, we have not forced a true accountability for them to operate more efficiently, more responsively, and most frustratingly, more transparently to the consumer they serve.
Well, Senator, you got to help us out here.
Down.
Senator, we're talking to Senator Tony Huang. He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. I mean, Eversource was just granted a rate hike. This is another rate hike they're requesting?
Is this the same one?
No, this is an additional rate hike from what they were granted about a number of years ago. And look, there are a couple of other utility companies, and I opposed the 30% United Illuminating energy rate hike in 2016. I opposed not only these kind of, you know, oligopoly utilities and insurance companies were hiked out on the back of insurance hikes in the double digit numbers. And this is going to add, ultimately, if these hikes are approved, they're going to add $150 a year extra to people's electricity bills. So I want to be sure.
Say that again. Say this again.
$150 more a year, we'd have.
Or $160, did you say?
An extra $150 a year to people's electricity bill.
Wow.
If they're approved. And you know what's amazing? We talked a lot about transparency. We don't hear a lot about this stuff. And you know what's amazing to me? We've got four public hearings that are needed to be held by the Public Utilities Regulatory Agency. You have heard nothing about them. You've not heard press releases about them.
Nothing. It's right.
And we just went to the PURA website. It's not prominently posted. The only way you can find out about these public hearings for the public is you have to know the docket number in order to go in there and see the posting.
Well, when is the first hearing?
There has been no public.
Well, Tony, you're on. Let's do it. When is the first hearing? You must know.
Well, the first hearing, I believe, is on January 20th. And what I'm going to do after this phone call, Brad, is is I'm going to put together a entire compilation and links to those public hearings, and I am also going to give an email directly to the public regulatory agency and have people write directly to them, and I will make sure to be CC'd on it. I will hand deliver it to the public hearing as I've done in the past.
Now, can you do us a favor?
Yes, sir.
So that Dan and I can get it going right away, can you get us a copy of this?
I will get that to you right after I get off the phone with you.
All right.
Fabulous.
Terrific.
But it's remarkable that you got these four scheduled hearings that have been scheduled weeks ahead, and none of it is on their website.
Unbelievable.
You got to search through dockets and through wow. Investigation. That's not right.
No.
And the thing is, people need to know about this. So I thank you for sharing that. But the frustration is, as I said before, over and over again, you two are true champions of the people, because unless we get this message out, the game's rigged. Yeah. And people say, well, it's public, and now we've had a chance, now it's approved. People have to have their voice be heard. And it's incredibly frustrating. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to share this information with the public that is getting the raw deal.
Okay, Senator, hang in there. We're going to take a traffic break, and then we'll be back with our guest, Senator Tony Hoang. Back with State Senator Tony Hoang. And, Senator, we all know where the current budget stands, in deficit again. We're holding our breath as the state comptroller prepares another report to be released today, an update on where we stand with the budget situation. Why do we continue to get these persistent deficits in Connecticut?
Well, part of the problem is the way we have run our state, and this goes back 20-plus years, has been a pattern of just-in-time budgeting and a real lack of discipline in doing the right thing. That may not always be the easy thing and may be painful, but we've not done this. And even when the governor was running 7 years ago, he kept on talking about past administrations kicking the can down the road. That's exactly what this administration has continued to do. But unfortunately, the business climate and the financial climate has changed dramatically, and we can no longer get away with that. Just as we talk about the lack of transparency and the lack of accountability, here's the deal. Our deficit was built in because of rosy projections by the budget office and the governor's office in February of last year. And when we talk about pension liabilities, it is also based upon rosy projections that are unsustainable. You know, and so we've gotten to a problem where we're living with the challenges and the inefficiencies in which we governed in the past. So we are here right and now. What does that mean? I don't believe we're going to be able to cut our way out of this deficit, gentlemen. We're going to have to be disciplined to make dramatic changes in governing. And we have to revisit the labor agreement that was jammed down the throats of taxpayers in September of last year. And that locks us up for 10 years and ties us one hand behind our back.
Senator, how do you get the unions to sit down and negotiate
when they
believe that they've already made quote-unquote sacrifices?
Well, I have to be honest with you. That was a bad, bad play in the vote that we had, and that was strictly driven by the governor striking the deal and the legislative majority approving it along party lines. But that being said, the state can no longer afford the terms of those agreements. Just as with any agreement, the ability to pay on one party has to be available. This state can no longer afford the richness of that deal. That being said, we all need to come back to the table and lay everything on the table. It's not just labor unions. We have to ask state government. We have to ask our various entities that deliver services to create greater efficiencies. We have to look at, like we said about the energy rates, we have to look at health insurance companies. Could they take less of a bigger margin and be able to respond to making our state the most competitive state in the country? We're not right now. So to answer the question is, we are going to have to do things that we may not be willing to do. But I'm fortunately, I am extremely concerned we can no longer simply cut our way out of this budget crisis. We have to be disciplined and look up and be honest with people to say, we got to fix the problem. We have to create more jobs. We have to fix our pension liability, and we have to reinvent government to truly reflect our households that we represent and the businesses that we represent.
Senator, now, I know you're going to be leaving here, but will you be sure and get that information to Dan and myself, though, that you said you would, so that we can get to our listeners at least to get it out? Because this information that you're talking about, some of it, is not being told to anybody. And this is wrong. So if you can get it to us, we'll get it out there.
Well, Brad, I just sent it to him. To you.
All right. Terrific.
I just sent it to you along with the Public Utilities PURA's docket on this whole thing, which is a 20-pager. But I also sent you something that I've written that'll be sent as a testimony that have outlined all the details, all the dates, and the email that people can send and voice their
fabulous
opinion.
All right, we'll get it out there.
We'll get it out. Say, always great to have you on, Tony.
Thank
really,
Tony.
Really is.
Thank you.
You bet.
Senator, you take care.